I welcome Aslan Hunter.
I don't know if it was this way for anyone else, but the first time I met Susan Musgrave, she scared the shit out of me. It was just, I thought this is poetry and these are women poets. It was overwhelming. It's not so scary now. About a decade ago, I was at a crossroads in my life, very genuinely, and I remember lying in bed, and I was trying to figure out where to go and what to do, and I thought, okay, who are three people that I admire? And then I'll work backwards from those people and figure out if there's some common denominator. And then for some reason, I thought, okay, no, who are three women that I admire? And that's like a whole philosophical conversation why that change was important. And anyway, Jan Zwicky was the first name. You know, if I grow up into anything, I want to become Jan Zwicky. And then Ann Carson and Ann Simpson. And I thought, wow, three women poets. And the last decade of my life has been a conversation in my mind between me and the kind of vital intelligent thinking that comes from being a woman today's day and age and thinking through poetry. And so I just wanted to say that. So thank you for putting that all in one book. Attempts to know the future. The clock's winding key and its gallow ribbon, a metal ladder against an old barn wall. That things beautiful once can go on being beautiful. Music from distant patios, the surprise of an instrument I cannot name. A gilded anything, the light-tipped work of birds, sketches in ornate frames. The abjuration of self-portrait, woman lying in bed, woman with her hand on a window. Useless beauty, fancy dresses, impossible hats that stop us in doorways. What then, the appearance of the world in front of the world, and elsewhere that assembles itself like alphabet blocks into the sudden swagger of a word? I hang roses from rafters, it's what I do, rehearse each petal's falling. And yes, I want to bring you with me to not leave anyone behind. The dusk road between the cemetery and the greenhouse will still be there. Pollarded trees will grow grace and will etch ivy over everything. Books have been bound with less. Toad skins, cup handles, corset stays, kid gloves, the cord that runs from the piano key to the hammer. Barthes spoke of the interstice of bliss, but I am interested in what comes after. Scars, bone catacombs, marginalia, a place that casts no shadow. Are you still with me? How can you be? We are nowhere we have ever been.
I welcome Jillian Jerome.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi. So thank you. It's so great to be part of a project built around women. I've been lucky to be a part of a few of those projects, and it's a great joy in my life to work with women who lift other women up. So I'm reading a poem called Shark Poem, and it's inspired by lots of things, and one of the things it's inspired by is my reading. I had been reading Flaubert's Madame Bovary and studying it quite closely and thinking about how Flaubert mocks the pretensions of the bourgeoisie, but in doing so he's also, through the character of Emma Bovary, mocking female desire. And I was thinking about the ways in which, in the history of literature, female desire is mocked and punished, and especially within the context of a relationship or a marriage. So, Sharp Poem. I like you in the way that I like to sit beneath bridges and watch boats cross the water. Sometimes I like to think about being beneath a boat as it vees the water until it's awake. Oh, the glorious ripples. I like you in the way that I like mussels cooked in curry and French fries with malt vinegar on them with a glass of Pinot Blanc when it's sunny and when it's not. Like I like watching films by Mike Lee, because when everyone's wounds bleed openly and you think happiness is next, he pours in the iodine. Sometimes I like you like I like black licorice and chocolate mousse and any cake with hot caramel sauce, but could care less about profiteroles or sugar cookies or Saint Honoré. I like you like I used to like to hide behind the furnace with the dead snakes in it and hear my heart knocking, excited and terrified of being caught. I think of you when I stare out of this glass window and wish that I lived in a glass house beneath the sea and grew fields of lavender and had many different kinds of buttons and the sharpest hat pins and many different record players and records and movies starring Marilyn Monroe. How perfect you are in a certain way, but also flawed. Like when you prattle on about whatever, using up all the air. The world is full of people, and here I am at the coffee shop eating petite madeleines and wondering about you. You resemble, but aren't entirely alike, a man in a book who loves a woman with a fever, who was born in a basket and sent downstream. I've thought of you stumbling home from the Ocean Palace at 4 a.m., haunted as Oedipus. Do you remember the details? A few days after he figured out his incest, murder, plague, pestilence. Oof. He plucked out his eyes with a Phillips screwdriver. Some mistakes choose you, so leave your eyes alone. We could swim out into the sea together, but the current would likely pull us under, or we'd get hypothermia, which is a horrible way to disappear. But I think of you when I'm sitting inside the car going through the automatic car wash, the bristles and soap, the rollers and steam feel to me like a peep show. I mean, I like to pay and trap myself inside the car. Isn't it true that most people like to be inside someone else's thoughts? For a while, I stood at the edge of a cliff and then walked very slowly home. And kept the whole time my eyes wide open. When you shot flares out, I couldn't answer them, and by the time I could, the world was washed out by rain, and I wanted to eat fried chicken, sit in front of my fireplace, and listen to Edith Piaf. Boats travel along the water daily, breaking into the city so quietly we rarely hear them. Just as we move through our interior lives, unknown but happy for the anonymity, which is the center of everything. Not the red boat with the bright searchlights, but the eels swirling in the water beneath. Thank you.
I welcome Elena E. Johnson.
Can you hear me okay? I'm quite tall. What a beautiful book. I'm just so proud and excited about it. Thank you, Mona. Does anyone in the room speak Icelandic? That's a relief because my pronunciation is maybe not that great, but I'll give it a shot. So there's just two lines in this poem that are in Icelandic, but I'll read the English translation right after as part of the poem, so you don't miss out on any part of what's on the page. Singing at the table in Iceland. In Iceland, my great aunt told me, if you sing at the table, it means you're finished. Someone can come in the back door and eat up the rest of your food. Now I eat soup alone in a kitchen in Vancouver. I wear three sweaters, keep my hands against the bowl. I've made a whole pot. I'll have this all week, all by myself. The cat doesn't like vegetables. My landlord cautioned, don't open the back door except in emergencies. In this neighborhood, you never know what condition people are in. Ik oska svaitum island, fyr fymtio arum eda mer. I wish for rural Iceland, 50 years ago or more, to leave the door unlatched, the window open to the fields, to look out during supper and see the sheep scamper, to decide to sing at the table, knowing someone might hear.
I welcome Fiona Tinway Lam.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks to Mona and to Susan for undertaking a monumental task and succeeding so beautifully. It's a real pleasure and an honor to be among so many amazing poets today and to have my poems amongst so many amazing poems. And thank you for being such an attentive audience. I can hear your responses and murmurs, and it's a wonderful thing. Today I'm going to read a poem that is about my mother. My mother passed away in 2007, and it's the anniversary of her birthday today. Chrysanthemum. Rolls of rice paper in the corner. Jars of soft-haired brushes, elegant cakes of watercolor, black inkstone at the center. My mother held the brush vertically, never slant, arm and fingers poised, distilling bird or breeze into diligent rows of single characters. Hours rippled. Years of practice urged the true strokes forth. Stiff bamboo now waving in white air. Cautious lines now ribboning silk folds of a woman's gown. My favorite of her paintings was of chrysanthemums. They began as five arcs of ink, long breaths in the emptiness alluding to stem and blossom. Then, from the finest brush, the outline of each petal. Flesh flowed from the fuller one, tipped with yellow and lavender, until every crown bloomed amongst a throng of leaves. If only I had been paper, a delicate upturned face stroked with such precise tenderness.
I welcome Sandra Lynn Linksley. I was fine looking this way. Mona, thank you very much for all the work. It's just incredible, and all the emails and the energy, and to see all the faces out here is just phenomenal. The poem I'm going to read is actually making me quite nervous. It's a poem that was kept quite silent and quiet for a number of years. The poem is entitled Niche. Niche in the Soto language is a derogatory term and can be a loving term. Niches when you call another Indian a niche, another Indian, an Indian, in not too nice of terms. And sometimes it's also done in loving jest, like, don't be such a niche. So this poem was kept silent because a number of, my mother went to residential school, and she didn't call it residential school, she called it a convent. And I didn't learn about it till later that it was residential school. And so there's some things in here that was part of the 90s, I wrote this over 23 years ago, in anger. And at that time in the 90s, a lot of Aboriginal women were writing a lot of very heated, angry poems. And they were historically based. In one way, I meant what I said. And in one way, it helped me heal. Niche. Your white manners stain your brown skin, dirty pink satin dress, a model you're not. You slur nun habits in a sudden beauty beehive. You spread honey legs like wrinkled money on a poker table. For years, sugar, sweat, cum, drip the length of your thighs. Outside, in the back seat, you mount for whiskey, go down for wine. A Dodson whore laughs. Today, have you told me that your sugar daddy died? Your fourth husband fucks anyone, but you lie down for a psychiatrist, part your lips for federal cash? I hear 10,000 wets the bar. Birthday, anniversary, retirement, party. Your days are numbered, niche.
I welcome Christine Lowther. I think maybe she didn't make it. Yeah, I hope so. Susan McCaslin, I welcome.
Thank you so much, Mona. And I feel Susan is with us in spirit. And I just want to say it's an honor to be among the word goddesses. I'm going to read a short one. It's the newer one of the ones that were included. Dear Crow, pirouetting on a street lamp, your instrument for Cirque du Soleil maneuvers, casting your flecked eye streetward, pitching a street words noir song that we interpret as a caw or cackle. Actually, less a grate or rasp than a finessed blast. What I do is me, for that I came. Such a solitary iamb, I-A-M-B, ta-dumbing against cumulus. Dangerous calligrapher, Don Juan Castaneda hipster, pitch black zero, dark night of the stroll. Where away?